Welcome to Rich is Not a Four-Letter Word, the podcast for your wallet. I'm Jerry Willis with the Fox Business Network. Today, we talk about couples and money. Listen to this.
What do you and your significant other argue about the most?
Sex.
I'm better with money.
We don't argue. We pretty much stick to a budget.
We've just started seeing each other. There's not much to be argued about yet. I'm sure there's some stuff that'll come, but...
All right. I know you've had problems. I've had problems. Who hasn't had problems with their significant other? So I brought in the big kahuna to give us some great advice on this today. David Bach, don't laugh at me. David Bach, the author of Automatic Millionaire and Smart Couples Finish Rich, which in 2004 was the nation's number one business bestseller. All right, David, let's start with the 101. Okay. Why is it that when I talk to my husband about money, it's like I'm talking over here and he's on a totally different playbook? We're not even in the same room. You know what I mean? Like, where is the why can't couples talk about money?
Well, here, and I happen to know your husband, so he's amazing. But why do you and David disagree? Am I getting busted here?
Yeah.
Why do you guys have trouble talking about money? It's the same reason I have trouble talking about money with Alicia. It's the same reason that most of us have a difficult time talking with our spouse. And here's why. Usually, you fall in love with your financial opposite.
I hate that.
So if you're somebody who's really into money, and you are, right? Like, this is what you do for a living. You tend to fall in somebody who's less interested in money. I always joke that people are either born to budget or born to spend, and then they fall in love with each other. And we think it's like sexual attraction, but no, you're like a money magnet for your financial opposite. So, I mean, that's really the truth. And when I do these seminars, people laugh about this. But then I go, okay, so now that we know that that's true, now that we know you fell in love with your financial opposite, there are things that you have to do to get on the same page, to have a long-term marriage where you're happy and you're successful financially.
All right, I want to get to that. But I also want to look at this in terms of stages of your life. So let's provide that advice in terms of stages of your life. I know so many people that have gotten married and day two of the, you know, after the wedding, you find out, hey, my honey has $100,000 worth of credit card debt. And I actually know a couple who experienced that. They are not a couple anymore. They divorced right away. What do you need to know when you're, you know, when you're engaged, for goodness sakes?
It's so funny because here we are at the age that we are right now. And it's so obvious.
Advanced.
Well, it's so obvious what we're about to say. But like, I literally just came from doing a Facebook live chat with somebody who's in her 20s. And she's totally in love. And she's going to get engaged. And she's like, but I haven't had the conversation with my fiance about money. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, well, we haven't talked about money at all. And I said, well, have you talked about like where you want to live? Have you, you know, you have your own business. Have you talked about credit card debt or student loans? She's like, David, we have not talked about money at all. And she said, and I'm afraid to talk about it with him. I go, well, when did you think it would get easier? And she's like, and literally exactly what you just said, Jerry. She's like, well, most of my friends talk about it after they get married. I'm like, trust me. I'm like, just trust me on this. You want to get all the ugly stuff out of the way before you get married. Like if you have any possibility that you and your, you know, fiance are financial opposites completely, you want to know that before you walk down the aisle.
Okay. A number one, have a no surprise policy, right? You got to get all the, look at the papers, right? You know, you actually pull out the paperwork. Here is my student loan debt. Here's my latest credit card statement. Let's have a come to Jesus meeting about the debt.
So it just so happens in Smart Couples Finish Rich, literally the first step is putting together these 13 file folders. So I go
13.
And it's a magic number. What that does is in an hour when you sit down and you put together everything, your student loans, your credit cards, your credit score, your IRA account, your 401k plan, when your insurance, whether you have it or not, your will, there's literally 13 things. And you know, when you go through these folders, you're like, well, I don't have half of them. That's great. Then you know the folder's empty. We don't have a will yet. We don't have life insurance. So it's like a checklist. And what I recommend young couples do is literally start with the Finish Rich file folder system because it will get you on the same page in less than an hour.
Okay, I have to tell a story here because it's not just – what do you know before you get married? It's also getting married. A really good friend of mine, she gets married at St. Regis. I have never seen such a party in my entire life. The food, seafood, caviar,
six
wine
figures for sure.
Days. $200,000. That's what her dad paid. 10 years later, she's still living in a condo. And I think the whole time I was at the wedding, I kept turning to David and saying, this could have been a down payment on a house.
So you mean actually? This could so, have been she, a, so she's renting? You mean? Is she renting?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I did an Oprah show where the couple that we did the money makeover on spent $50,000 on their wedding, and they didn't have a dime. So they got married in debt with $50,000 in debt. They had, I called it, it was a lobster style, you know, they had a lobster style wedding on the beach. I'm like, you really had a tuna fish budget. But, you know, we've been trained, you know, you're supposed to spend 2 months of your income on a wedding ring. You know, it's the most important day of your life. I would tell you the most important thing you can do when you're a young couple is actually not fall prey to that. And have the money to pay down some of your debt. Have the money to maybe buy your first home. Have the financial freedom that if one of you hates their job, that you've got some money set aside so that you can go try something new.
I love this conversation. It's so much fun. But let's go maybe to a different end of the spectrum, okay? Because I think, you know, the challenge isn't just there when you're starting out. It's also there when you've been married for a long time. And you and I were talking before we got started today that maybe the number one problem for families these days in terms of finances is divorce. If you get divorced, that is a financial disaster.
Yeah, it's not just chopped in half. It's really, it's worse because you lose usually 10, 15, 20% of your net worth to divorce.
What? Wait a minute, how?
To divorce costs. So show me somebody's got $1 million and I'll show you a typical couple that will spend $150,000 to $200,000 on attorneys on the divorce process.
Oh, my gosh.
Then you split up what's left. Now, ladies, one thing if you're listening to me here, and this can go to men too, but it's very important that you know where the money is because when it comes time to get a divorce, when it gets split in half, you only get half of what you know is there. But I will say this. Look, 90% of millionaires are still married to the first person they fell in love with.
Let me tell you, I told David, my words to David when we got married is there's one way out, toes up. You know, we're not getting a divorce. That's not a possibility.
There's just nothing more expensive than a divorce. And unfortunately, a lot of people get second marriages, and second marriages lead to divorce even more often than first marriages. So prenuptial agreements are really critical. And Smart Couples Finish Rich, I talk about, yes, you should get a prenuptial agreement, even though it doesn't seem romantic.
I hate that idea. Well, I think that's setting yourself up for, David, hear me out here, my friend. So that's conceding that you're on the road to divorce, in my view. Why would you do that? You've got to do more prep ahead of time to make sure you're on the right road instead of saying, you know what, at the end of the day.
I fundamentally adore you and disagree. You have a contract here at Fox. You didn't just shake hands with somebody and come to work here and then hope that Fox would do right by you. Everything in life that is serious involves a contract. Marriage is a contract.
Oh, that's so depressing.
So
I'm
the
just
sad,
telling
it
you.
Is. It is totally depressing.
It's
but let
not
me,
romantic.
You haven't been through a divorce. I've been through a divorce, and I happen to have a fabulous ex-wife. But let me just say something.
You got lucky. I know her, too.
It is brutal going through a divorce without something in writing that explains how it's going to be divided. Look, we have a president who had three marriages, and I'm sure he's had three prenuptial agreements. It's part of reality. If you have she's cracking up here. If you have unequal assets and unequal income,
right,
you want to have a prenuptial agreement. Now look,
I just want to point out here, because this is important, the new tax reform plan, you can't deduct alimony anymore, FYI, for people out there who might be thinking about the divorce.
And by the way, that's changing everything in divorce this year.
Really?
Huge. First of all, it pushed a lot of people to get their divorces done last year.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a big issue whether or not you can write off your alimony. Look, people do the math when they go to get divorced. There's a reason why in recessions people don't get divorced.
Because you can't afford it.
They can't afford it. Divorce attorneys, the business was really slow. Like you talk to an average divorce attorney in 2009, 2010, business was down 25%. You get to today, we're in an all-time stock market, all-time real estate, until we got the tax law changes, there were a lot of divorces last year.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, I want to switch gears yet again. So we've covered young money, we've covered
divorce. That was depressing.
So let's talk about something that I know our viewers, listeners, i.e., are super interested in. What changes do couples have in their money life when they hit retirement? What can you tell me that would be essential advice for people in that category?
So here's the good news about retirement. First of all, you should know this. If you're approaching retirement, the happiest years of your life are now being shown to be between the age of 65 and 74.
Amen. That's right. You know, people know what to expect. Their life is fuller. They're happier. I don't know. Is there money better, too?
Well, there's money, but the biggest thing is time. They call it time affluence. So you have time without pressure. And usually people are actually pretty well off in many cases by the time they reach retirement. You hear all the negative news, but a lot of people are very well off. So what are the biggest issues for couples in retirement? Agreeing on what you really want to do together. So, you know, we see couples that are retiring and they haven't talked about where they want to live. They haven't talked about how much they're going to travel. They haven't really gone through their forward focusing plan. So Smart Couples Finish Rich starts off with a story about a couple that comes into my office, and the guy's going to retire in 6 weeks. And I'd say to him, what do you want to do when you retire? And he says, I want to build a home in South Carolina on a lake and go fishing. And the wife says, who are you going fishing with? You know, our kids are here in California. We've got grandchildren, and I have no desire to go fishing. Well, we help that couple. We help that couple because we show them, you don't have to build a home in South Carolina. You could rent a house for 3 weeks, and you can get your fishing out of the way, but your wife's still going to be happy. Like, there's a lot of compromise, actually, in retirement, but the beauty of doing it correctly, if you do it based on your values, is that retirement for couples can truly be the best years of your life. It is one of the things that helps the couples, honestly, is having a financial plan. It's having a planner that's that outside coach to pull out of you. What do you guys really want to do? And then help you realize also, this is so important, I want to make sure I don't forget this, help you realize that you can probably afford to spend more money than you think.
What? Yes. I think everybody is so worried about spending a dime.
And, you know, I'm about to go out to Arizona tomorrow to do a client appreciation event for one of our biggest advisors. And I'm going to talk about this. Like, look, you guys are all ahead of plan. You know, the stock market went up over 20% last year. If you've been invested in a diversified portfolio, you are way ahead of plan. And if you're 67 years old and now you want to take a cruise and you're waiting, you shouldn't be waiting.
No.
And this is when the financial advisor should be sitting down with you on the plan and going, look, you know what? You're actually in great shape. Another thing we talk to our clients about who have good money is to take Social Security early. Complete opposite of what you normally hear. Normally you hear is, you know, you should
That's
wait.
Right.
You should wait because Social Security is worth 8% more every year. Yeah, but you know what? In your 60s, you're healthier than you're going to be in your 70s. And if Social Security is the difference between you taking one extra great trip a year or not taking a great extra trip a year, that could be 10 years of great trips in your 60s. So we try to get retirees to rethink money when they're hitting these golden years.
You know what? I could talk to you all day long.
I know.
It's so much fun. And we're going to have you back, obviously, because I'm sure people want to hear more, especially about changes in retirement. Maybe we need to do a whole podcast on that. David Bach, you are amazing, and I really appreciate your coming in and talking to me, as always. I feel like I just saw you yesterday.
Thank you. You're amazing. I've missed you. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. Three takeaways from this episode. First, get the ugly stuff out of the way before you get married. Share all your financial information, including credit card debt, student loan debt, and so on. Do you have a will? Share it with your intended. Number two, divorce is bad for finances. According to Bach, you lose 10 to 20% of your net worth when you unhitch. He says 90% of millionaires are still married to the first person they fell in love with. Number three, the key to couple stability in retirement. Agree beforehand how you plan to spend your time. Remember, in retirement, you'll be time affluent. And Bach says if you've been benefiting from the stock market's run, take advantage of it. You may be ahead of plan. Follow me on Twitter at @JerryWillisFBN and on Facebook, where my handle is Jerry Willis. Bottom line, I want to hear from you. What money issues do you want to explore? Tell me, and we will get it on the podcast. Have a great day, and remember, rich is not a four-letter word. If you enjoyed this podcast, leave a review.